Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
First and 10 Patriots from their own 1 yard line. Look at this. Brady's going to go with an empty backfield. Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught! 20 yard line, 30, 35, 40. Down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance. A 99 yard touchdown play. How about that?
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. We broadcast live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette, and right away, right off the bat, Brian Lowe, he's affectionately known as B-Low with the Fantasy Football Lowdown. Good afternoon, Brian. You'll be here until 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Kevin, that's going to be 17 weeks of that, right? Yeah. I don't mind. It's been 3 years of it, too. Anyways, good to be here, Pete.
What another great week of the National Football League. Yeah. I mean, points, baby.
Unbelievable. I was doing a little bit of research today on just for various fantasy and non-fantasy football, you know, just trying to get some stuff down. And I did a comparison of the first 2 weeks this year and the first 2 weeks last year. Out of 64, you know, there have been 2 weeks of 16 games, so there's been 64 starting quarterbacks, if you know what I mean. 32 games, 64 sure. quarterbacks. 23 300-plus yard passing performances this year. Last year through 2 weeks, only 9.
Well, I know week one, half the teams passed for over 300 yards. I wasn't sure what it was last week.
Well, I you know.
Overall, but.
Assuming I did it right.
Yeah.
There were 23 as compared to 9 last year. 300-yard passing games. It's really.
Unbelievable.
The ball is flying all over the place.
How do you pick
high scoring?
The way the trends, I mean, you know, things can change, but how do you pick a defense as a fantasy football owner right now?
Because. Cross your fingers every time.
I mean, you don't know. I mean.
I'll tell you how you pick a defense.
I guess if you're playing against the Chiefs, maybe you do.
Here's how you pick a defense.
Yeah.
Who's playing the Seahawks?
But
take them
or
the Chiefs.
Exactly.
Who's playing the Seahawks or the Chiefs? That's the defense to use.
Yeah, and Seattle's Arizona, a team that can, you know, score up some points as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Seattle is at home, and they look pathetic last
Seattle's
week.
Seattle's at home. That is that might
sometimes
be the
sometimes I overfactor the pride factor, you know?
No, I know.
That's what I did last week. I made that mistake with Kansas City.
Oh.
Not too good.
No, you're right, though. But, I mean, you think about it, though. As of this week, this time last week, you thought, okay, Kansas City embarrassed at home.
Yeah.
They're not going to lay an egg again, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah,
but Seattle is the least inspiring offensive team this year. Name me one guy on that team who you think has any capability for fantasy football, and I will argue against it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So,
all right, let's get right. We had a lot of questions already
for
you. So let's get right to it.
Sure.
With Brian Lowe and the Patriots Football Lowdown. What's up, Pete and Brian? I need any fantasy help this week. Who do I start? A wide receiver. Pick three of the following. Keep in mind this is a PPR league. I'll just start. I'll give you this. He's got about 8 examples here. Hakeem Nicks versus Philadelphia. Nate Burleson versus the Vikings. Mike Thomas versus Jacksonville. Robert Meacham versus Houston. Ocho Cinco. He's got Ocho Cinco versus Houston, but he obviously means Buffalo. Denarius Moore versus the Jets. Eric Decker versus Tennessee. Greg Little versus Miami. Thanks, guys. Mikey in East Haven, Connecticut.
Well, as far as those three, I think you are picking three. Knicks, if healthy, is a must-start any week, although Eli Manning. Against Philadelphia has been a Eli Manning.
How about against St. Louis last
week? Eli Manning this year has been a disaster. Eli Manning in Philadelphia historically has been a disaster. In the last 2 years, he's got like 5 interceptions in those games. Knicks is still a guy to start. And the thing about quarterbacks is, if Eli Manning throws a lot of picks, then that doesn't hurt you if you own Hakeem Nicks, as long as Manning is still throwing in his direction. So you got to start Nicks. I really like Eric Decker this week if Brandon Lloyd doesn't play, which that might not be until a game-time decision because Lloyd didn't play last week and Decker tore it up. I think Decker is on the rise. Even if Brandon Lloyd is healthy, Decker is still a guy to have on your team. He's just not necessarily a must-start every week. But I would say right now, looking at this, and Mike Thomas – plays for the Jaguars, so that means that they are who are they playing? They're playing Carolina. I would probably say Nicks, Burleson, and Meacham would be the three that I like. I'm high on these New Orleans receivers.
It's Thomas with Gabbert. I mean, that's the thing. You know, it's a new quarterback.
Well, no, Thomas plays for Jacksonville. So going against Carolina.
Going against Carolina.
I'm sorry. You're right. Gabbert. Gabbert. That's not a guy I feel safe with. He's not good enough to be starting caliber every week. I would say that it's Nicks. Nicks, Burleson, and Meacham. Mm-hmm. But If you find out that Brandon Lloyd is not playing, I really think Eric Decker is a good guy to start this week. Tennessee's had a pretty solid pass defense so far, but I still think Eric Decker would be a guy to go to there. So give me Nix, give me Meacham, and give me either Burleson or Decker, depending on Brandon
Lloyd. I'm a little surprised you're not putting 85 in there this week, and I'll tell you why. Only because looking at the injury report this week for Buffalo, McGee did not practice today, and only because Hernandez is out, and I think that, not that he's going to have 200-yard a game, but this might be the game against this team that 85 comes up pretty big. I got a feeling.
I'm not going to disagree with you there, but I still think, at best, he's your number four passing target on this team. Now, as we've seen through the first 2 weeks, Welker, Branch, Gronkowski, and Hernandez, four passing targets. Any of those four are absolute great starts, as we've seen these first couple weeks. So, you know, the number four receiver for the Patriots has some value. But I just think while I anticipate Ocho Cinco getting more looks, maybe a few more catches, I just don't think there's going to be the explosiveness factor there. I don't think he's going to score a touchdown. I see him getting four catches for 50-something yards, which, you know, might not be a terrible fantasy day, but I just don't think I wouldn't start him over a few of these guys.
You ready for this prediction?
Yeah.
He's going to get two this Sunday.
Two touchdowns?
Two touchdowns.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
If the Raiders are putting up 38 on Buffalo, the Patriots are going to put up 40-plus.
I agree.
And I just think that you're going to see Randy Moss type of plays this week, at least a couple from Ochoa. That's my prediction. I could be dead wrong. But I got a feeling this is the week he's going to break out against that defense.
I think they'll go in his direction a little more. I think no Aaron Hernandez helps. But I just don't. I don't think there's going to be two touchdowns. I don't think so.
We shall see.
We shall see. Yeah.
Hey, Belos from Robin Drake. I have Steven Jackson as my running back two, but he's coming off an injury, and Baltimore D is tough to run on. My other options are Danny Woodhead, Brandon Jacobs. I'm leaning towards starting Woodhead because of his past success against the Bills. What do you think? Also, as my flex option, would you go with Nate Burleson against the Vikings or Jerome Simpson against the Niners? Both are off to great starts, but I'm leaning towards Simpson because the Niners have been giving up a lot of fantasy points to wide receivers. Thanks, Robin.
It was Simpson or who? Who was the Simpson
Nate Burleson?
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Only one of those two was busted for marijuana possession this week. I would go with the guy that wasn't.
Now, did you see that story?
I did see that
story. 8 pounds of pot.
I mean, you're Jerome Simpson.
But you know what? Were the players arrested? They were detained. I'm not sure.
Okay,
they were,
no, you're right.
I don't think they were arrested. Okay. Which I don't know how they weren't arrested, but that's the NFL.
No,
I don't know.
Good point. I said the word busted. I don't even know what busted. Does busted mean arrested? I don't know. But here's the thing. You're Jerome Simpson, okay? You are no surefire, year in, year out NFL player. Can't you go with this one small period of your life without, just make sure you're not busted for marijuana possession? Whatever. He didn't practice, I think, on Wednesday. He wasn't, and I don't know if it was related to this or not. Even still, I'd still go Burleson.
We have to pick a parole officer in these trying times.
That was, exactly. I'd still go Burleson, either way. You know, Matthew Stafford's his quarterback. That's better than Andy Dalton. So I'd go Burleson over Simpson either way, but especially with Simpson's issues this week, I'd go Burleson. As far as that running back situation, you know, Steven Jackson is, you know, in one of several running backs who's just kind of be this frustrating week in, week out. Will he play? Game time decision. He's probably going to be questionable. If he plays, you know, my instinct is you have to start him, but that was my instinct with Arian Foster last week, and that was a bad call by me because I was telling people, you know what, go with Arian Foster. He's going to play. I think they're going to give him the ball. He played a little bit, didn't feel comfortable. It's Ben Tate's team right now. So right now I'd lean toward no Steven Jackson. Danny Woodhead, I think he's a solid choice this week.
Good choice. Yeah. I think so. Two good games last year. Well, first we scored his first touchdown against Buffalo last year. Second game was even better. Ben Jarvis rushed for 204 yards last year against Buffalo together.
And that second game. Correct. And I think in the second game, the Patriots had such a big lead. They were running a little bit more. I do think this will be a closer game. But I think Woodhead, especially if you have a guy like Steven Jackson, you have some injury issues, and Woodhead's on your roster, I think this is a good week for him.
All right, let's see what else we have here. Lots of things. Let's see. Keith in Kentucky. Oh, the UK, I should say. Oh, no, this is from
KU, UK.
UK. This is from, okay. Hi, guys. Higgins and Hopkinton here. I have four questions for you. That's a drill. We'll go through them one at a time.
Okay.
One, I have four wide receivers for three slots this week. One is flex. Jeremy Maclin, Roddy White, A.J. Green, Vincent Jackson, which three do you recommend? That's question number one.
Okay, well, let's tackle that one first. I think Vincent Jackson is an absolutely elite wide receiver. He's at home against Kansas City. I think he should be, if not the best wide receiver in any rankings this week, he should be top three or top four. So he absolutely should be starting. Roddy White absolutely should be starting too. Pretty much every week. Hasn't gotten off to an extremely explosive start so far, as we've seen from Roddy White in past years. But I think Vincent Jackson and Roddy White, you go into any week with those two guys as your top two, I'll take my chances. Then between Macklin and A.J. Green, Macklin had an unbelievable game Sunday night. Double-digit catches, 170-something yards, two touchdowns. Then he did get hurt and got knocked down.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that may derail him, maybe not. I lean toward him over A.J. Green, even though A.J. Green had a pretty solid game last week. The whole thing with Macklin, too, does the Michael Vick situation affect what kind of role he'd have? It sounds like Vick practiced today. He's probably going to play, it sounds like.
Attempt to play.
But that may factor into using some of these Eagles players. So you've got to monitor that over the next couple days. See if Macklin's on the injury report tomorrow. See what Vick's status is. If everything seems to be pretty good there, then I would definitely go with Macklin. At home against the Giants. Otherwise, if it doesn't seem like there's a good comfort level there, then I think A.J. Green is a pretty decent number three receiver. He had a huge game last week, and Andy Dalton is looking like he might be a legit pro. So I'll tell you what, good situation there with those four wide receivers.
Does every fantasy league have the same time you have to get the same time slot to get your team in by?
Usually,
What is it usually for most?
Mean, I think it's 12:30, but usually you
12:30
can
on Sundays.
Yeah, but you can, most of the time you can adjust. If you have, let's say, you have two wide receivers that both play at 4:15, you have until 3:45 to make that call. You just can't, you can't adjust if you have a guy playing at 1 o'clock who's on your bench. You can't move him in, obviously. So,
all right. Third question he asks: I decided to choose defenses each week by matching. Heck, I'm thinking I'll just keep picking whoever is playing Kansas City.
It's a good call.
This week I have the Chargers. Should I give up this tactic and pick up one of the two solid teams left: Lions, Chargers, Texans?
No, I think this week the Chargers are a great option against Kansas City. The other ones, what did he say? The Texans?
Texans and the Lions.
Texans and Lions. Detroit at Minnesota? No, I don't think that's better than, going up against Adrian Peterson is not better than what San Diego has. Mm-hmm. And Houston, Houston against New Orleans? No chance. I think you're fine with San Diego. The premise in general of kind of going week by week, I love it. If you have... Yeah, what's an elite defense this year? I mean, we've already seen Baltimore. Have Tennessee, beat them. There aren't really too many elite defenses. You're better off. There are better defenses than others. But going week to week is not a bad.
I think elite defenses. I've been talking about this all week. In real life football, I think those days, at least for now, are done. And sports is cyclical. They'll adjust eventually, come back. But right now. I thought Parcells last week made a great comment, and it affects fantasy football too, what he said. And I brought this up several, I don't know if you saw it on Countdown. He's like, the offenses are so far ahead now, and these kids come out, they start learning these spread offenses that some in junior high, high school, when they get to college, if you see all these college games, so many high, these kids are ready to go. Yeah. And it's not that the defenses are horrible. Right now, there's just so many great offensive players out there. They can't keep up on defense.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
That was a great point by Bill. Starting at such a young level.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is interesting. I didn't see that piece, but there's no question. And I mean, you just look at the games this coming weekend. And what defense do you really feel comfortable with? Well, Arizona at Seattle. I'd probably feel comfortable with Arizona. I wouldn't feel great, but
maybe Pittsburgh at Indy.
Pittsburgh
at Indy. They're 10.5
this year.
This year without Manning.
I'd say Pittsburgh is a good bet, but. What other defense do you really feel comfortable with this week?
Jets at Oakland. Rob Bryan says, did you read his comments this week?
No.
He made some comments about he doesn't need to watch film for Oakland or really coach against Oakland. He just wants to,
Really?
He just wants to, see if Oakland can help. He can help Oakland beat the Patriots. That's what he said.
True. Oakland play, yeah.
Let me, Higgins and Hopkins, a couple more. I have two starting running backs, Peterson, McCoy, and two benched, Felix Jones and D'Angelo Williams. Should I dump either of the bench running backs? And if so, which sleeper is a good pickup in place of them? That's his last question.
Well, I'd say that, you know, D'Angelo Williams, you don't want to cut him yet, but what a disappointment. The whole Carolina running back situation, you figure last year D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart were both. It's rare that you have a tandem running backs that both are great fantasy options. This year, neither one of them have been. Cam Newton's just throwing the ball so much. Felix Jones, if healthy, you're certainly not going to cut him. If it turns out that he's injured, maybe you do. But I will say that there are a couple of guys that I'd try to pick up if I were you. Javon Ringer with Tennessee. I mean, Chris Johnson. It's not like they're going to give up on Chris Johnson by any means. But you know, he's obviously had a sluggish start. They might just try to limit his carries or try to get more bang for the buck and give Javon Ringer a little more time. I wouldn't be surprised to see that. Same with Deji Kareem of Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. He's Maurice Jones-Drew's backup. Jones-Drew is the number one guy, but I think we're going to see a little more, you know.
Unless Gabbert goes crazy and, you know.
Right, especially.
Which I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Right, right. Yeah. So I think Deji Kareem is an interesting guy to look for and Javon Ringer. Now, another one that you know, most likely this guy has already been picked up, but Daniel Thomas, the rookie running back from Miami, he probably was drafted because he was kind of a hot shot in training camp. Then he was injured, missed week one against the Patriots, did have 100 yards last week. He's an up-and-comer. I'd look for him, too. But right now, I think it's probably too early to give up on D'Angelo Williams, but it has not been a good start for him.
Brian, the Fox in New Mexico. Hey, guys, I'm in a league where the most lethal scorers are wide receivers who can gain over 100 yards a game, and I have a dilemma to this end. Carolina Steve Smith is winning games for me, and my flex guy was Julio Jones, but he has now been bumped into the role of second starter because last week I traded Reggie Wayne in a deal for Jamal Charles.
Ooh.
With Charles out for the year after two plays, I badly need my second receiver to produce. I felt like the Falcons gave up all they did for Jones with the intentions of using him in a Wes Welker role, get the guy in space, and let him make big plays. Seven catches for 100 yards through two games is not what I had in mind. Now my finger is on the panic button, leaning towards packaging Jones with an arm and a leg of other value for a proven elite guy like Larry Fitzgerald. Your thoughts, Brian?
Well, yeah, for this year, if you could, I like Julio Jones. I think as the year goes on, he'll be pretty good. But certainly for 2011, if you can trade Julio Jones and another, you know, second-tier guy for Larry Fitzgerald, you do it. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is elite. If it's a keeper league, you know, maybe you have higher hopes for Julio Jones. That's unfortunate, a very unfortunate trade there. You know, it's too bad with Jamal Charles.
That's the kind of luck I used to have. A couple of years. I mean, I told you, I lost right. three receivers yep. in 30 yep. seconds on yep. three different teams yep. at the yep. same time. It was just ugly.
Yeah, that's ugly. That's ugly. Did you hear what happened with NFL.com? They had a mid-season or an after a couple weeks, a new fantasy league that you can sign up for and kind of redraft.
Yes.
And the promo for it had a picture of Jamal Charles on the stretcher last week. And the tagline was, is your fantasy season on injured reserve or something like that? Well, try to redraft a new fantasy league starting up. And I think they've already taken it down because it's kind of tasteless to add insult to injury to Jamal Charles and have him as the poster boy for injured reserve. It was kind of an interesting situation today. They took that one down. But, for this last emailer, if you're looking to try to get some, waiver wire, trying to look in that direction for some wide receivers, here's a few. Denarius Moore out of Oakland. Speedster had a big touchdown last week, starting to get a little more in the mix. Darius Hayward-Bey has been injured. They've had some injuries there. If he's on the waiver wire, he's a guy you might want to grab.
Against Revis and Cromartie this
well,
week?
Well, maybe not this week.
Yeah.
But this clearly this guy's looking for over the course of the season. I mean, this week, you know, you may have to – I'll tell you, well, for this week, how about David Nelson?
Yeah.
Of the Bills.
That's
– you know.
Oh, no, there's no question.
How about David Nelson of the Bills?
With the way the Patriots' secondary is allegedly banged up here.
Yep.
I mean, like I said, and the only – again, Steve Johnson not at full speed today, got a groin injury. But you never know.
You never know.
Come game time. But that's something maybe some fantasy people might want to be concerned about.
But David Nelson is on the rise.
He's like their West. Well, the third. He's technically the third receiver, but he's been one of their best receivers.
Exactly. And as far as this week, Eric Decker, who we mentioned earlier, if Brandon Lloyd is out, and I think he's he missed last week's game. you know, groin injury. I'm not sure what his status is going to be, but Eric Decker is definitely a guy to consider on the waiver wire. There's a few others, and until the marijuana situation, I thought Jerome Simpson would be a pretty good one, and he may still, but a little bit of an asterisk there now.
Email us webradio@patriots.com. Brian Lowe, the Fantasy Football Lowdown until 5 o'clock, and joining us right now is a pal, Poker Mike, who's also a great fantasy football guy. Hey, Mikey, how you doing?
How we doing, fellas? Good afternoon.
Good, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a little busy over here today. I got just a lot to talk about, so.
Well, share your thoughts a little bit. Brian's much more qualified to talk fantasy than I am. I'll be like a sponge and absorb it. Go ahead.
No, but it's all good, Pete. But I have to ask Mr. Lowe, how do we fare?
Well, my teams, my four teams, I was two and two this past week. I have, two teams I'm 2-0. Actually, no, I was 3-1 again. Two of my teams I'm 2-0. Two of them I'm 1-1. Fairly content, fairly satisfied with that. The one that I was most concerned with last week, at least as Sunday was going on, I entered the Sunday night game down by, or I'm sorry, I think I was up by maybe 2 or 3 points. But I only had, and let me finish here, I only had Jeremy Maclin, while the person I was going against had Deshaun Jackson.
Oof.
I think Cadillac Williams, who, if you remember, last week, Steven Jackson was out. Cadillac Williams going into the Monday night game was a pretty good. And I think even someone else. So I was up by a few, but my opponent had three guys going, and I had only one, and it was Jeremy Maclin, who was really underwhelming last week, on week one.
And
so what ends up happening? Jeremy Maclin gets me 40-some-odd points. Deshaun Jackson does nothing. Cadillac Williams does nothing.
Oh, yeah, he did. He watched a lateral pass stay on the ground that was awful.
So I ended up destroying the opponent that I thought I'd lose by 30. So that was the one that that was the most interesting for me. But so far, I'm pretty happy with how my teams are doing. Knock on wood, the biggest injury problem I've had was I had Brandon Lloyd on one of my leagues, and actually I had him in my lineup last week. And part of that is just the part of the problem with working here, and there are very few problems with working here, but, you know, a Patriots game at 4 o'clock, I'm kind of running around, various things around here, before the games, and I missed the fact that Brandon Lloyd was on the inactive list. I knew he was hurt. I just missed it. So, and I lost in that one, by a few. So that was really frustrating, but, that's the way it goes.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to just cruise over my week because unfortunately I lost. And I'm going to pull the crybaby card because I lost and I just don't even want to get into it. But I ran into a buzzsaw, just to say the least. Still had a productive week, but I wound up in my main league. I lost, but I won in my other league. So it wasn't a complete waste of a fantasy week. But like I said, a lot going on over here as we speak. I got a trade proposal on the board right now. Mm. I'd love to hear what you guys think about it. Kind of going back and forth, you know, really like the way that my team has kind of shaped out. You know, we talked about Ray Rice before, so my two running backs being Ray Rice and LeSean McCoy. Doesn't get much
Love
better.
It.
Phillip
yep.
Rivers as my quarterback. Starting a flex position, which is Tim Hightower, and then my wide receivers are Deshaun Jackson and Santana Moss.
Okay.
Here we are. Now, I got to tell you something, Brian. I am not really into trading. I just, you know, in the 10 years that I've been involved in this league and my fellow fantasy mates will tell you, I don't like it. There's nothing worse than, you know, getting down with a big trade and then having to watch the guy that you traded away just kill it.
Well,
it is just a frustrating feeling that I just hate more than anything. So I shy away. But here and there, that diamond in the rough trade comes along that I just can't pass up. And I think this might be it. Like I said, happy with my team, but we're obviously looking for fantasy football immortality. And I think this might do it. Getting you up to speed here. On the board right now, I have Cam Newton sitting on my bench. Okay. I spent $1 on him on draft day. Just basically as my bye week replacement to Phillip Rivers. We had no idea he was going to, you know, play to this, you know, magnitude going into week three, obviously.
Certainly, yeah.
But a big thing here is you have to consider him as trade bait, which I did. Now, am I skeptical on, you know, passing on Cam Newton just simply because will I ever be in a position to start him over Phillip Rivers?
Well,
I don't think that I will be, but it's possible. So, anyways, the trade that I have here is giving up Cam Newton along with DeSean Jackson and Tim Hightower. Those are the three that I'm going to have to give up.
Okay.
What's being offered to me is Chris Johnson, and you actually just talked about this wide receiver a second ago, who I am huge on, is A.J. Green.
Okay.
So, again, it's kind of back and forth, and, you know, it's not a done deal yet, but it's pretty close. And, you know, again, I'm happy with where I'm at, but I'd love to hear what you think about this situation. Am I giving up too much? The player that I'm actually trading with is in a position where he's skeptical. You know, it's that whole you have to, you know, sell them while they're high.
Yep.
And that's kind of how I feel about Cam Newton. He's in a position where I can get an elite player. If I package him with one of my guys,
yep,
I'm in a position to get an elite player.
Here's what I would say. I would say that's a pretty good deal for you, and here's why. I think with Cam Newton, I truly feel I do think he's gonna be a pretty good quarterback. I think we've seen he's got what it takes. He's got a good arm. He's a pretty good decision maker. But I do think he's gonna get his lumps. He's gonna have his lumps this year. Just going through the grind of a 16-week NFL season is going to take its toll, I think, on Cam Newton. And it does for just about any rookie quarterback. Right now, there's a pretty good chance that right now is when his value is at its highest. And if you have a chance to get the guy who was, minus his holdout, the consensus number one pick in fantasy drafts, and he's not injured right now, I think you do that trade. You've got to have a little bit of mixed feelings on Johnson, because through 2 weeks he hasn't even hit 100 yards rushing combined. But this is a classic buy low, and there's a more than reasonable chance that Chris Johnson will end up becoming the Chris Johnson we've seen over the last couple of years. There's a better chance of that than that he's going to go in the tank and finish with 700 yards and 4 touchdowns over the course of the season.
Absolutely.
And as far as how this impacts your actual lineup, you'd be, correct me if I'm wrong, you'd be sliding Chris Johnson into your flex spot or whatever, Ray Rice, LeSean McCoy, Chris Johnson. That's three of the top six running backs in all of fantasy football. And you'd put A.J. Green in for DeSean Jackson, who, you know, right, I mean, last week, A.J. Green had a huge game. DeSean Jackson had a poor game. So that might end up being a wash. And you give up Newton, who's your backup quarterback. And to be perfectly honest with you, you can probably go on your waiver wire and find a reasonable backup quarterback to just have insurance for Philip Rivers, or take a look at what week Philip Rivers has a bye week. Take a look at teams or what quarterbacks are available on the waiver wire that have good matchups for that week. Grab that guy, and you're good to go.
Absolutely, I'm in favor of it. I think it'll help. I hope we didn't scare away my opponent.
Well, is he listening? Is he listening?
I mean, to be honest,
probably.
With you, that's what we talk about. You know, when you're in a league with you know, players that just know these teams and these players, you know, you can't pull the wool over anybody's eyes.
Right.
So, you know, for the most part in our league, our trades are very, very fair.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this is a fair trade.
No, it is a fair trade.
Do I want to give up three of my top guys? Not really. You know, am I going to look, you know, kind of like a donkey if Chris Johnson doesn't really pan out and I just traded away half my team for Chris Johnson and A.J. Green?
Right. But
yeah,
it's a pretty decent risk. Now, just out of curiosity, who is this guy's starting quarterback right now?
Now, that's I since you went there, I will roll with it.
Because I'm wondering, how eager is he to get Cam Newton? Is it because his starting quarterback is Luke McCown, or is it because he's got Drew Brees, but he's going to try to make a second trade and deal
exactly.
Drew Brees. You know,
we're dealing with our defending champion here,
so
okay?
He must have some idea, maybe it's Tony Romo or someone who might have a couple of questionable weeks coming up.
His QB right now is Michael Vick.
Okay, well there you go. That's our answer. Is that he's not going to, you know, he's not going to cut or trade
sure.
Michael Vick, but he's thinking, well, Michael Vick is an injury-prone guy. If he plays this week, he might not be at full strength, and he's a guy who, over the course of a 16-week season, he might only play 12 or 13 because he's going to be banged up here or there, and he might feel that having Michael Vick and Cam Newton as his 1-2 gives him an opportunity to maybe play matchups a little bit and assess injury situations each week.
Absolutely. So, I mean, just looking at his team here, this is a player that actually he sunk the majority, actually pretty much all of his money in our draft into his running back. So his three running backs right now, He's looking at Chris Johnson, Maurice Jones-Drew, and then he's got Best as his flex.
Okay, well, that's pretty good, too.
Which is, you know, pretty much top-notch as far as running backs go in our, you know, in our league here. So, unfortunately, his wide receivers suffered. You know, he's looking at a wide receiving core of A.J. Green, Nate Burleson. He had Amendola, Mike Sims-Walker, and I think he had Roy Williams. So he's struggling in that department.
Yep.
So this trade for him actually makes sense because he's going to get DeSean Jackson. I got a funny feeling, just like you said, Brian, that he's probably on, he's talking to me on the phone, but he's probably on the computer talking to somebody else about trading Vic.
Right. Yeah. Well, if he's smart, that's not a bad move because, you know, much like with you, if you trade Cam Newton and don't get a QB, in return, you're thinking, well, there's probably some reasonable backup options on the waiver wire. He might be thinking the same thing. I'll get rid of Vic. Maybe I can get something, you know, startable player somewhere else. I'll go with Newton and someone else off the waiver wire. That could be, you know, I'll tell you, that's a very interesting trade. That's a reasonable trade, I think, on both sides.
Hey, Mike.
Like I said, I don't make blockbuster trades too often, but I think this one, we might have to get this one done here.
And I really do think that if it turns out that Chris Johnson, you know, just never gets into a rhythm this year, you can still look back and say, I had an opportunity to get the consensus number one fantasy football draft pick in 2011, 2 weeks into the season when he was healthy, and it was a buy low opportunity. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But it's not like you picked up damaged goods. It's not like you picked up a guy who was nowhere even close to being a first round pick, who had two good weeks and then is going to fall off a cliff. This is a guy who could still get on rhythm and have a good year.
I agree. How you doing over there, Pete? We haven't heard from you.
I'm just absorbing it. You guys are the fantasy guys, you know. I'm trying to come up with a score with the game. I wish you could. No, I think you both make excellent points. I mean, I'm just not the big fantasy football gurus that you guys are, but I certainly understand. Because it's going to impact real life football as well.
Hey, absolutely.
Mike, thanks a lot as always. We'll talk to you next week. Check in next week, my friend.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Right.
Good luck.
My pal Poker Mike, who does a great job. Let's get back to some of these emails, and we want to take a break here. We need to read a couple emails real quick, and then we'll take a break. We'll get some here. This is from it says strippers. Who do I start? Michael Bush versus Jets or Danny Woodhead?
I'd lean toward Woodhead, but, you know, it's close. Neither one is the number one option on his team. But I would just say that I think the Bills defense will be more susceptible to giving up yardage than the Jets will. So I'd lean toward Woodhead.
Also from Chad. Hello, Pete and Brian. Chargers defense are in FA. Should I pick them up?
Oh, yeah.
I ended up with the Pats defense since I was last drafting a defense. Dustin Keller is also available in FA, and I'm hesitating between picking him up or just for the week and dropping Sproles, except I hate the Jets. Give me your thoughts, please. To quote Rex, eating a bunch of bleeping cheeseburgers. See, that's got to be tough to go with your head over your heart in certain situations. You really, in fantasy football, you got to cast your emotions aside.
You do. And, you know, if you have a Jet on your team and, you know, you can still root or quietly root for that player to do well, but for the team to stink. That's the beauty of it. Just because an individual player does well in an individual game doesn't mean his team is going to do well. But I would say I wouldn't drop Sproles. I think Sproles, not necessarily every week, but some weeks is a good kind of sneaky, maybe flex option. He is really one of the leaders on the Saints as far as targets in the passing game. So, you know, combined on any given game, he's probably going to have 12 or 14 touches. I don't think he's a guy to drop. And, you know, as far as Keller, you know, I just need to know who's your starting tight end, because, you know, if you have if Hernandez is your starting tight end and he's your only tight end and you have a chance to pick up Keller, you really need someone this week, then, yeah, I can see it. I think Keller's pretty good. I'll give you another one at tight end, Ed Dixon of the Baltimore Ravens going against the Rams. Dixon is on the rise. You know, he's same draft year as Gronkowski and Hernandez. Had a quieter year, obviously, than those guys last year, but he's on the rise. So Keller is a pretty good option this week, but so is Ed Dixon. As far as the defense, you know, if the Pats are your only defense this week, I'd feel much more comfortable with the Chargers. Pick up the Chargers and go with them this week, and then, you know, maybe assess it the following week. You know, maybe if the Patriots, you know, shut down the Bills this week, you figure there'll be a better option against Oakland next week. But San Diego defense this week, if they're available, go get them.
My Facebook page, Tony wants to ask you, Julio Jones versus Tampa Bay or Tomlinson versus Oakland?
Probably Jones. Probably Jones. I'm not real wild about Tomlinson this year. He hasn't done a whole lot. I think maybe he was a little. I'm trying to remember what he did. He's been less involved in the offense. I think Jones is a much better chance of Jones having a big game against Tampa. I think than there is Tomlinson against Oakland.
All right. Email Brian at webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Brian will be here until 5 o'clock. More fantasy talk coming up next in the second hour. Patriots and Bills. Your phone calls and emails as well. All part of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. We're back after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with 2 savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
That sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get 2 Bacon McDoubles or 2 large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's 2 fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all 5 delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And welcome back, everybody. Brian Lowe still with us with the Fantasy Football Lowdown for at least 15 more minutes or so right here on Patriots.com. You email us at webradio@patriots.com. Brian here to answer all your fantasy football questions as we do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. How the high and lows, the emotions of having Tony Romo on your team, maybe one of the most spectacular fantasy football comebacks of all time.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
Oh, my God. I mean, week one, you know, he's doing pretty well, and then a huge choke. Last week, you know, he gets hurt. He is an interesting one. Last year, misses, you know, almost all the whole year. And now we'll see on him.
He gets hurt, and then you find out it could be, you know, no one knew about the punctured lung until the next day.
Right.
But
right.
You had to be like, he's probably, a lot of people thought he was no way going to come back in the game.
Right.
And then he comes back and lights it up.
And lights it up. Yeah. And that was, yeah, that was impressive. Gutsy. I mean, it really is. And I think that probably showed a lot of people, you know, considering what happened the week before, where he just, you know, choked the game away in the fourth quarter. You know, that it does show a lot. I think it shows a lot to, you know, fans and also his teammates, to have the guts to come back in after cracking some ribs and all that. And, you know, there's probably some adrenaline there. I'm sure later that night, the next morning, he probably felt absolutely, he probably did not feel like getting out of bed. Let alone breathing and all that. But now, as far as, you know, as far as how it pertains to fantasy.
Oh, he didn't practice today.
He didn't practice. Yeah, I mean, will he play?
He's got a punctured lung. How the hell is he going to play?
I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it, and I don't think it would be smart for Michael Vick to play either. But, in a certain way, you know, Jamaal Charles gets hurt and he's out for the year. And that's awful for your fantasy team. But in one small way, you know he goes on injury reserve the next day. You can cut him, and he's out of sight, out of mind. You don't have to worry. Then you got things like Arian Foster, Tony Romo now, Michael Vick, where not only are they week to week, you don't really know what's going on, it really is going to come down to an hour and a half before the game when the inactive list comes out. And even then, if the inactive list comes out and Tony Romo's not on it, well, maybe they're playing some games. Maybe he's the backup, the emergency guy, but they're going to start Mike Kafka, but you're not going to know for sure. It gets tough to handle, tough to deal with. So no one wants Jamaal Charles to be out for the year. And if you drafted him in the top five of your draft, you don't want him out for the year. But there's a little bit of just that sort of perverse irony where he's out for the year, he's off my team,
right.
I don't even have to worry. Don't even have to worry.
You can email us, webradio@patriot.com. You can Facebook me as well. Sam says, draft strategy questions. What makes a, quote, good matchup for a quarterback? Do you want a game where you feel the quarterback will be desperate and result in a shootout? Do you shy away from quarterbacks who should dominate enough that they will run the bailout? Lastly, should you pick your backup quarterback to be playoff strong? In other words, who is playing the last garbage game, assuming a team like the Patriots make the playoffs, and your quarterback is Tom Brady? Should you pick a quarterback for a team on the playoff bubble? Thanks, Sam.
Well, you know, very insightful questions, and there's no, you know, concrete answer to any of that. I would say, one simple way to look at it is, you know, what's just the general pass to run ratio for a certain team? You've got your upper echelon quarterbacks who, as long as their team is playing that week, you're going to start them. And that, you know, right now obviously includes Brady. It includes Breeze. It includes Rodgers. It includes Rivers. And maybe there's a couple others. But then when it comes to matchups, when you've got two guys and you're just not sure, it's hard to predict, a team. You know, what week a team is going to have such a big lead that you know, the team is going to end up running the ball out. You just can't predict that. You know, maybe the Patriots in 2007 were as close as you can get to week in, week out. They've got a big lead at halftime. They might run the ball out, but they ended up trying to, you know, they kept on throwing the ball. So you can't really look at that. I would say looking at a team's general pass to run ratio. And then when it comes to looking at matchups, it absolutely makes sense to look at the opposing team's pass defense. And, you know, that comes in two different ways. There's the official NFL stat for passer, for team rankings has to do with yardage. Well, in fantasy, yardage is only half the battle. If your quarterback is going up against a team that gives up a ton of yardage, but is pretty stingy when it comes to touchdowns, well, that could make a difference. And maybe, you know, you want to find a team that gives up a lot of touchdowns. So there is a lot that goes into it. There's definitely a lot that goes into it. There's no one factor. But it's a combination of what a given quarterback does as far as his team's pass to run ratio and what kind of pass defense is going up against.
I know we just talked about this a little bit before. I was going to bring it up Brent now because Sheffer's now reporting that Cedric Benson will be suspended 3 games for violating the league's personal conduct clause during the lockout.
Yeah. What a knucklehead. I mean, and you know what? I mean, who are the two guys we've mentioned today as far as off-the-field problems? Both Bengals.
Both, of course.
What a big surprise, huh?
You know, the National Parole League is right there based in Cincinnati.
Unbelievable.
I still can't figure out, maybe some attorney can figure out, how these players weren't arrested but detained. I don't get it.
I don't know. Preferential treatment?
I don't know.
But, yeah, Cedric Benson, I think the news on him, it sounds like he's going to appeal, and that appeal won't be until next week. So Cedric Benson likely to play this week, home against San Francisco. So, you know, decent matchup, I guess. You want him in your lineup. But if he loses his appeal, and I don't think the league is doing Cedric Benson any favors based on his previous history, I would say the likelihood is he'll be suspended for at least a couple of games. And if you're relying on Cedric Benson the next couple of weeks after this week, you may need to look elsewhere.
I don't know how Marvin Lewis has a job. I don't get it.
There's
something wrong. He's in charge. I'm sorry. And
yeah,
you know, he's always coming off to be some father figure of what?
Yeah.
A bunch of thugs
that
do drugs. And I mean, absolutely. It's amazing. No matter what you think of Chad, it's amazing he survived.
He survived, yeah.
During those times.
It is amazing. And he's a guy who really has never had off the field problems as far as the legal and all that. He's just kind of, you know, had some fun with, you know, Goodell and, you know, touchdown dances.
On my Facebook page, Steve says, need a win in fantasy football. Start Daniel Thomas or Ryan Matthews at running back.
Love Matthews this week. I love Matthews this week against Kansas City, and I think he's on the rise. And, you know, if you look at last year, he got off to a really slow start as a rookie, and Mike Tolbert kind of, you know, took on the reins and all that. But I think last week with Matthews, you know, rushing for a touchdown, Tolbert with a really costly fumble, and Matthews got a little more involved in the passing game too, I think we're going to start to see a shift. Now, this particular week, I like both guys, but I lean toward Matthews. But Daniel Thomas had a 100-yard game last week. They are at Cleveland. If I had to pick one over the other, I'd pick Matthews because I think, you know, San Diego is going to throttle Kansas City. And going back to the last question about, you know, matchups and what if a team is going to run the ball out at the end, well, I think there's an opportunity that San Diego might have a big lead and runs the ball out. Like both guys, I'd lean toward Matthews.
John says, hey, Pete and Brian, need a little help with deciding what to do with my team. Listen to this. My team is as follows. Michael Vick, Matthew Stafford, Kenny Britt, Robert Meacham, Anquan Boldin, Reggie Wayne, MJD, David Best, Cedric Benson, Ben Tate, Antonio Gates, Dustin Keller. I only have two spots for wide receiver and two for running back with a flex spot. My question is, who should I start at wide receiver, Robert Meacham or Anquan Boldin? I don't feel confident in starting Reggie Wayne against Pittsburgh. I agree with that.
Yeah,
and should I also start with Ben Tate instead of Cedric Benson? let's go Patriots, suck it, Jets, says John.
Wow. interesting dilemmas there. I'm actually curious what he's thinking about quarterback as well, because Vic and Stafford, obviously, you know, Vic is your number one guy, but this week, you know, I think Stafford is probably the safer bet going against Minnesota.
No question about it.
So hopefully he knows that. Now, okay, Britt is number one guy, although he also has come up with a hamstring injury. Not sure how bad it is. He's probably going to play. I agree on Wayne. Kerry Collins throwing the ball, going against Pittsburgh, just don't like it at all. And then Meacham or Bolden is an interesting one. Bolden's been decent for them. I've been high on Meacham. I was high on him last week. He didn't have quite the, he didn't have quite a huge performance. But Bolden, I'd probably go Bolden if I had to pick, because I think he is the number one target for Baltimore, whereas Meacham, as we saw last week, you know, it was Devery Henderson that had the 70-something yard touchdown, and Lance Moore might get into the act a little bit more with Colston out. I like Meacham a lot, but I'd probably give the edge to Bolden there. As far as the running backs, I'd probably go Tate. It looks like Aaron Foster is probably not going to be a safe bet for this week. I don't think he's going to play, and if he does, I don't think he's going to be healthy. And my fear is, as someone who does own Arian Foster in one of my leagues, I drafted him 8th overall, which I just felt like I couldn't pass him up there. My fear is he just is not going to get in rhythm at all this year. And at best, he's going to be a week in, week out. Will he or won't he? I go Tate. I like Tate. I think Tate this week, against New Orleans, I think it's a decent matchup. And I think Tate's going to be the number one guy for them.
Is it safe to say, this year, Steve Smith was probably drafted, mid to lower level, and may be the steal of anybody's fantasy football draft if Cam continues to be, probably 80% of what he is?
Yeah, he's probably been the steal so far, because I, for one, really didn't think too highly of Steve Smith coming into this year.
Well, The only reason he's there is because Cam is there.
Right. Combination of just the sort of overall sort of aura in Carolina for him. He's starting to get up there, and I just thought, bad mix. Rookie quarterback, kind of an outspoken wide receiver with not a lot of patience for bad quarterback play. I just felt Newton was going to take his lumps this year, and it wouldn't be a pretty scene for Steve Smith. We were talking earlier, when Mike called about trading Cam Newton and all that. Well, I got to be honest. I think it's a good time to trade Steve Smith. It depends on what you can get for him. It depends on your depth at wide receiver. But I just don't think the Cam Newton to Steve Smith is going to keep up the way it's going. It might still be good. I'm impressed by Cam Newton. I'm impressed by Steve Smith. I think it's a good time to trade Steve Smith. And another guy to take a stab at on the waiver wire is Brandon LaFell. Young wide receiver. I think it's his second year for Carolina. I think he is going to start creeping into that number two Carolina wide receiver role. And as long as Cam Newton is going to continue throwing the ball at the pace he's been throwing it, I think Brandon LaFell is maybe an underrated guy, maybe long term over the course of this year to pick up.
It's another interesting week. I still think it's going to be an interesting week for defenses. I mean, the obvious, what we talked about, looks like, Kansas City, and I'm probably going to pick them again this week with 14.5. I mean, I don't know. It's a Matt Castle thing. I can't believe they can be this bad. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs this year. I thought they'd be the one team to take a step back. I can't believe they're going to throw out a clunker 3 straight weeks, and they did beat San Diego in San Diego last year, where San Diego was horrible on special teams opening night,
here's the one thing I'd say about that Kansas City-San Diego game. We saw this about San Diego last week here. We saw it last year against the Patriots in San Diego. They'll beat themselves.
Yeah.
They might not lose that game, but they'll keep Kansas City in the game because they'll beat themselves. Mm-hmm. Whether it's stupid offensive decisions or key fumbles like Mike Tolbert had, or it's a special teams miscue or whatever, San Diego will beat themselves and will keep Kansas City in the game for a while. So, if 14.5 is the number, that's not a that's.
And they still have San Diego still using Novak this week at kicker, I think, right?
Yeah, still using Novak. Yep. And so there's I don't see Kansas City winning the game, but I could see San Diego keeping them in it.
There's a lot of interesting mess. I think, from an offensive standpoint, because a lot of people had the Ravens last week, and Tennessee really kicked their ass up and down the field for the most part. Yeah. That game really wasn't even as close as it happened, from what I saw on Red Zone and everything else. But I do think bad spot for the Rams this week for them. Unfortunately, I think Baltimore is going to really lay one on them. And I felt bad for St. Louis on Monday night because they should have won that game. Yeah. They really should have won that game. The Giants are. You just know what to get. You don't know what you're going to get out of the Giants. That's why if you have Giant like Eli Manning, that's a tough call if you have him at quarterback.
Don't like
especially
him
this week.
Don't like
that
him
team.
This week. Yeah. Don't like him this week. And like we were talking about earlier with Hakeem Nicks, it's hard to sit Hakeem Nicks. But I would sit Eli Manning, that's for sure, depending on who you have. But you're right about St. Louis, you know, short week going against a Baltimore team that is probably really pissed off.
I know they're home. St. Louis is home.
I don't know how much that matters. That doesn't matter a whole lot to me in that matchup. Mm-hmm. I like Baltimore in that game. But I agree. There's some interesting matchups. Houston, New Orleans, I think is a really interesting matchup.
That's interesting. I'll be honest with you. I'm interested in the Jets Oakland game.
Absolutely.
I really am. That's going to be interesting. Jets flying across the country and Oakland back to back weeks. Jets Patriots should be interesting.
Yeah. And I just thought of this now. You know, last week, Buffalo Oakland was a game involving the Patriots' next two opponents. Well, this week, Oakland Jets is the Patriots' next two opponents as well. So definitely a really interesting game for Patriots fans to follow.
All right, one more question because I know you're going to get out of here.
No, it's okay.
I am sitting pretty with, this is from a Joshua, our attorney. I am sitting pretty with Brady as my starting quarterback and Stafford as my backup, 2-0 thus far. In an 8-team league, I am having a hard time figuring out who to trade him for. Only team that won't want him is a guy with Breeze. I am thinking McFadden might be a good trade. Your
who
thoughts?
To trade Stafford for, I assume, or
I'm having a hard time figuring out who to trade him for. Oh, yeah, I'm assuming Stafford is the backup.
Probably not trading Brady.
Why would you trade Brady?
Right.
That's insane.
Well, if you can get Darren McFadden for Matthew Stafford, of course you do that. I mean, you can get a top flight running back for your backup quarterback, just like we were talking about with Mike.
Sure.
If you can trade your backup for a starter and then go to the waiver wire to find a reasonable backup quarterback, you do it. I wouldn't trade Matthew Stafford for just anybody. You know, I mean, you're not going to start Matthew Stafford any week except for the Brady's bye week as of right now. So you trade Matthew Stafford for a starting running back, you absolutely do it. But, you know, don't trade him for just anyone. But McFadden would be a guy to trade him for.
All right, Brian, my upset little fantasy pick of the week, if you even want to call that, is 85 for us.
Okay.
Two touchdowns, 75 yards, five catches.
I like it. I don't agree with it.
I know.
I don't agree with it, but I like it. Here's a guy who I think is just going to be a stud this week, Jason Witten. Think about all the injuries for Dallas. And I don't care whether it's Romo or Kitna playing. Felix Jones is hurt. Miles Austin is hurt. Dez Bryant is hurt. Jason Witten is going to have a massive game. If you can trade for Jason Witten this week from some unsuspecting owner who doesn't realize what a big week he's going to have, Jason Witten is going to have a massive week this week. I think that's the Monday night game, actually, against Washington.
Yeah, it is, unless they key on him like the Patriots did on Gates. I mean, if you had Gates last week, you know, obviously Vincent Jackson made some spectacular catches, but I mean, it's kind of like pick and choose. But I mean, with all those guys out, you just said for Dallas, do they now key on Witten?
I don't think they're going to be able to stop him.
That's going to be an interesting game too, Washington. Yeah. That's going to be real. That's all. It always is.
Absolutely,
Brian, you're the man. Thanks
all right.
a lot.
Hey, Pete, enjoy the next hour, and I'll be watching that Ocho Cinco
because
I hope I'm wrong. I think he's going to have a better game than he's had the first couple of weeks. I don't see two touchdowns.
Okay, I'm only because Hernandez is out. I just think it's actually. I think we have one more. Let me see.
Let's bring it on.
Our lawyer just said Stafford he was talking about. Yes,
okay.
we got that. Okay,
okay,
sure, all set.
All right,
Brian, thanks
all
a lot.
All right, Pete, thank
next
you.
Next Thursday, have a good flight to Buffalo.
Oh,
and
we will.
Get the wings with the nuclear
anchor
side.
Bar,
you and Roker talking about fine eating establishments.
That's
and
right.
The Anchor
right.
Bar is one of the best out there.
It's
yeah,
pretty good one. Yeah.
There's only like two restaurants in Buffalo.
Yeah,
you go to anyway, right?
There's not a whole lot. That's why they're both crowded.
All right, have a good flight.
All right, thanks.
Take care. Brian Lowe, the Fantasy Football Lowdown. We do it every Thursday right here on the Pete Shepherd Show from 4 to 5 p.m. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will reset. We're broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's the number to call. Josh Barrett, comments from the locker room early today. Kevin was in there. And update you on the injury report and everything else that has to do with the Patriots and Bills. And let's have at it. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Back with more from you guys here on the Pete Shepherd Show, Patriots.com, right after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Brats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Brats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Brats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Makes me feel better. Anyway, welcome back to hour number two of the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com. Number to call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. We're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios in the bowels of Gillette Stadium. Stadium's right over there. As I was walking in today, Kev, the most of not, and I know, you know, because we walk, in the media entrance down here and everything else. You walk by the practice field, which is all, you know, in green, shade and secret fantasy, and secret, but they were blaring some of the most, it's one thing to blare music and noise. I understand that. This was really bad rap music that they were blaring in. And I mean, really, really obnoxious. I would rather just pipe in boom, boom, boom or something, but to have to listen to bad, really bad lyrics of any song, That's gonna be a pain in the butt.
You were offended today when you came in.
I was offended. You know, I didn't. I just it was just. I know the loud music. I know what they do.
You can tell it's probably not Coach's pick then today.
Oh, please. Well, I mean, maybe he wants the most loud and obnoxious stuff. Knowing Coach, that's what he wants. You know, By the way, part two tonight on NFL Network, in case you did not.
Yeah, get ready for it.
Get ready for it. I hope most of you saw part one. I thought it was spectacular. I don't know of anybody that didn't like it. That's not a football fan. And it doesn't matter if you like the Patriots or not, if you're listening around the country or around the world. It's just a great insight to a great football coach. I think he did show sides that people, you know, contrary to popular belief, he's actually a human being, believe it or not. You know, I mean, it amazes me sometimes how people forget that. Same thing with people on the air sometimes. I forget that sometimes, you know, there's a lot of people that don't think, they think that people in the broadcast industry just are these, you know, little voices in the radio, but they're actually people. Well, not Borges, but everybody else is. I'm just kidding, Ron. I'm just kidding. Oh, kidding. Oh, anyway, email me, webradio@patriots.com, and also on Facebook, me, Pete Sheppard, PETSHEPPARD. We're going to get to the locker room sound in a little bit. Right now, we have a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's Carl in Montreal, Canada. Hey, Carl, you're up next here on the Pete Sheppard Show.
Hey, Pete, been listening to the show. Great stuff, as always.
How are you, my friend?
You know what? The injury bug, I mean, every team's going to get them. It's already starting. I'm wondering, why can't we get back Gerard Warren? Has he been picked up or what's going on?
No, it's a good question. I think all the shows have been talking about that for the last couple of days. It kind of surprised me because I was one of those when they let him go. I said, you know, it's probably for, you know, financial reasons. More than likely he'll be back sometime between week one and week two because something always seems to happen. It didn't happen. Did not happen. And they ended up, signed Landon Cohen.
Yeah,
instead, because
he's
a little more versatile, I guess, and a little younger than Gerard, and they signed cornerback Phillip Adams to the, as well, and you know, Copeland Pryor on IR. So, and again, I feel bad because I guess I cursed him. We didn't talk about this, but I guess you know my man Eads, who I was talking about, might be, you know, that might be the steal of these
linebacker.
They cut him today. So they signed Jeff Tarpinian from the practice squad and released AJ Eads. And they also signed rookie cornerback Josh to the practice squad.
Yeah, our linebackers are looking pretty good right now. I mean, Spikes did pretty well in the run game, and Mayo's a beast. And, you know, I don't think Guyton even got on the field last week, and Guyton's one of our best linebackers. So I'm not worried about the linebackers. It's still the safety position. I mean, I look around. Jared Page is playing. He's starting for who I forget. You know, we cut Brandon McGowan, and I think right now, aside from Patrick Chung, I mean, we're thin.
Made
a big play last week, but I haven't seen the other guy. What's his name with the B? Or I forget his name.
Who? Sergio Brown? Barrett. Josh Barrett?
He hasn't done much.
Well, no. Well, again, this is what's scary this week, Carl, is that, you know, Chung and Barrett are both banged up, and they're, you know, Kevin was in the locker room today, and he doesn't think Chung's going to be able to play. I mean, Chung just had surgery. You know, there's still no official word yet. Obviously, he didn't practice today. Barrett is banged up. You know, you're going to have Sergio Brown and Hideo both back there. It could be a very interesting week for the Patriots secondary. I mean, if Chung can't go, that's going to put a lot of pressure on some of the other guys. You know, Rozai Dowling, he's a little bit banged up as well. You know, he had limited participation in practice today. So did Guyton, as long as we're doing the injury report. So did Mayo. He had limited participation today. Zoltan Mesko and Taylor Price and Ryan Wendell. So, but the Bills have their little issues too, because Terrence McGee, didn't practice today for them. That's big. And Steven Johnson isn't full tilt at wide receiver. So we'll see. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game
Bills,
once again.
They really want to win this game. I wouldn't be surprised. They're going to try stuff like fake punts, onside kicks, going for it on fourth down. I mean, they're going to try to outscore the Patriots. I mean, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
And they got the leading rusher, so they're going to try to chew up some clock too, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with that is, and I'm sure, I think that's what they want to do rather than get into it. If they get into a shootout, they're going to lose. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. They don't have the firepower to put up the numbers the Patriots can put up. They need to run the ball effectively and keep the Patriot offense off the field. The problem is, I don't know if you heard the show yesterday or early today, but I was talking about it with Brian on the fantasy stuff, but statistically, even though he passed for three touchdowns, in Buffalo last year with no picks, but Brady only threw for 140 yards last year in that game in Buffalo, and the Patriots still won by 31 points. Now, I know every year is different, and there's new players on defense this year for Buffalo. I understand all that, but last year, really, it was more Woodhead and Jarvis Green-Ellis in Buffalo than it was Brady, even though he did throw three touchdown passes, but it wasn't like they were, you know, bombs galore. They ran the ball well, so it could come down which team runs the ball better. And certainly Woodhead and Green Ellis have had success against Buffalo in the past, and Jackson's off to a terrific start. So, you know, we'll see. And C.J. Spiller, yeah, and Spiller as well. Spiller as well.
If you remember, Kyle Williams had a big sack right up the middle, and I can't even watch that play with Brady against San Diego. I'm sick thinking about it. I have the game taped, and I just don't want to watch that again. It almost ruined that Sunday for me, seeing that.
Well, you're talking. You
would have been the season right there. So.
Well, you're talking about Gary being fined. I mean,
30 hit from the back, and I just don't know. It's a miracle. It's an you know.
You got fined $15,000. You got fined $15,000.
Legend of a quarterback is still out there, and hopefully, we take the penalty, tackle the guy. Do not let that happen to Brady. I can't go through another season of that.
You can't. I'm still recovering from 08. You know, I'm not fully recovered, but he did get fined $15,000 for that.
For that play. Anyways, what can you do? Yeah. But next week, man, I'm telling you, the Jets, they're going into Baltimore. We're going to have to be cheering for our buddy there, Terrell Suggs, to put some heat on Sanchez. After the Jets come away with another garbage win this week against Oakland, they're going to Baltimore on Sunday night and to New England. So we're going to be 5-0, and they're going to be 3-2, and... You know, we can coast out.
Well, maybe
that.
Maybe the Raiders can, somehow make this kind of a contest. We'll see. I mean, the Jets have to fly across the country, and, you know, it's not like Sanchez is playing great or anything. Trust me, Jacksonville was awful last week, and Sanchez he was okay last week. I mean, he had some turnovers as well. We'll see. Maybe the Raiders can muster up something. I mean, they are scoring some points. They should have, there's no way in hell they should have lost that game last week, but, they're not going up against, this Jets team. I don't think is as good offensively as the Bills are right now, to be honest with you. Maybe that changes in a few weeks, but we'll see. I'm hoping the Raiders can come up with some kind of do something and keep it respectable.
If the Raiders don't get them this week, I guarantee you the Ravens will get them. So.
All right, my friend.
I'll keep in touch, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for checking in, and we'll talk to you soon. And that's, our buddy from, Carla Montreal is a regular caller here to the Pete Shepherd Show. 508-298-0398. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. You can Facebook me as well, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. So it's going to be, it's going to be very interesting. The injury report, again, there's, I mean, obviously, Patrick Chung, Gronkowski, Haynesworth, Aaron Hernandez, Sebastian Bowman, Mike Wright all did not practice today for the Patriots. And as I read before, Arlington, Rozzi, Dowling, Guyton, Mayo, Mesko, Price, and Wendell all limited. But Chung did not practice. And depending on, John Rook seems to think he's still going to be able to play. Kevin was in the locker room today, does not think that's going to be the case. I mean, won't know. I mean, if he practices tomorrow, if he practices tomorrow at all, maybe there's a shot.
Yeah, Rappaport is now definitively saying that he has a source that says he's not going to play. But, that's not official. But
yeah.
Nothing that I didn't say 2 hours ago, Pete.
You were, yes. You're the man. It's breaking news, Kevin. You know, BNK. That's what we call him here in Patriots.com. Haynesworth had a back problem today. He didn't practice. So, and maybe they keep Chung out because they just think, and maybe they give him, even, if it's a playoff, maybe it's one of those scenarios where if it was a playoff game, Chung would play. But because they're playing Buffalo and because of the firepower of the Patriots, I just don't see Buffalo outscoring. I'm going to give you my scores and predictions and all that stuff. But, and I'm sure Buffalo's going to put up a few, some points in this game. I have no doubt about it. The way the defense is banged up, especially, if Haynesworth can't go and Chung and Barrett are banged up. I mean, boy, that's an incredible amount of pressure on some guys, Rozzi Dowling and Hideabo and Sergio Brown. And it's going to put added pressure, on guys like Kyle Arrington and Baden McCourty, Molden. But it's in Buffalo. And, man, I'll tell you, the Bills somehow, they self-destruct. I know, again, I'm not being trendy. But, man, did they self-destruct against the Patriots in that stadium every year. And this is a little bit different because they haven't been 2-0 in a while, but – I you know, the Kansas City Chiefs were terrible. And, you know, if the Raiders are putting up that kind of points on Buffalo, what are the Patriots going to do? See, I mean, I really think the Patriots might be able to score probably 80% of the time in this game. So Buffalo has got to limit, for them to have any chance in this game, I'm not saying keep it close, I'm saying for them to win, for Buffalo to win, they have to keep the Patriots off the field. They're going to have to somehow hold the Patriots to like 60 plays or less. And they cannot give up the big play. And I just think, I just don't see it happening. And I do, I do disagree a little bit with my fantasy man, Brian Lowe. I think this is Chad's game. I think Chad's going to come out. 4 or 5 catches, 75 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. Aaron Hernandez is not going to play in this one. I think they're going to go to Chad here. I think he's going to be able to get it going and, you know, put to rest some of the questions that have been asked about him. So we shall see. We do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette, Patriots.com, the Pete Shepherd Show. Email me, webradio at Patriots.com, and you call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Hey, so, Kev, let's hear what Josh Barrett had to say earlier today. This was, you know, you talked to him in the locker room. Who else did you talk to today?
It was just him. It was really light. We had the crowd around Devin McCourty, so yeah. Paul Perillo and I kind of snuck out the back door and wanted to pick nice. Barrett's brain about the situation if Chung couldn't play.
Well, all right, well, let's hear from Josh Barrett, Patriots safety, earlier today.
You know, it was part of the game. You know, we've all been playing long enough to be able to realize what it means and how everyone has to step up and you know, their role may increase, you know. So we're taking that kind of approach to it and, you know, just having it like that.
Now, even though he's only a third-year guy, I assume Patrick is the most experienced of you guys in the system.
Yeah.
So I assume he does a lot of the communicating. If he's not out there, who does that sort of fall on?
Well, it's on everybody to communicate. I mean, you have to know what you're doing out there. And each safety has to make calls, you know, and a lot of it depends on the safety making calls. So, I mean, who's ever out there needs to be, you know, knowing what they're doing and knowing what calls to make.
Is there a message that Bill gives to you guys in terms of dealing with personnel loss? I know he's always been very consistent. Doesn't matter, next guy up, you know, job to do.
No, you know, that's something to where, you know, individually you got to be ready to play. You know, you're always one play away. You know, if you're a guy who's not starting, if you're a guy who has a limited role, there's, you know, you're always one play away.
You still feel, you know, talking to you after that Giants game, you talked about kind of like the versatility that you provide. You know,
mm-hmm.
On the line of scrimmage, you can play in cover. You feel like you've gotten a chance to do some of those things?
Well, you know, it's we all have our role. Like I said, we all have our role on the team, and depending on that role each week, you know, it can change. It can change each week. So, you know, just being prepared and knowing more than necessarily you have to be prepared is important.
All right, that's Patriots safety, Josh Barrett.
Just and, given the first thing he said, yeah. I knew right in my mind.
Yeah, so, you know, I think I might be leaning your way with this Kev, that and Ian's talking about as well in Rappaport about he thinks that according to his source that Chung is not going to play, and you know, it's not that the Patriots can't, but it's again, it makes it more difficult.
And for the
obviously
record,
and
for
Barrett's record, banged up too. It's not like Barrett's 100%.
I was just about to get to that. He's considered one of the more healthy bodies that they have in that locker room right now, and he has a full almost wrist cast that covers his thumb.
And Rozzy Dowling's got a hip injury. That's never, he was limited today, so you don't know how, you know,
so
that's
really,
that's tough.
You only have basically one healthy safety in Sergio Brown.
Yep.
And, you know, basically a glorified special teamer and a hit-a-bo.
Yep.
And a banged-up Barrett. I mean, you're real thin back there.
Yeah. And, you know, unless, so, if, it's going to be interesting to see, and it's an interesting scenario for the Bills to see what they do, because they have been running the ball obviously extremely well. And, you know, if they start going to 4 and 5 wides, again, the Bills, like I said, the Bills have their little problems as well, too. Like I said, Steven Johnson is not, he's not at full speed. He missed practice today, and that's huge for them. But they still have, and here's what's going to happen. People are going to fall into the trap. I hope you don't, because I'm telling you right now, Scott Chandler's going to have some catches against the Patriots. And just because they shut down Gates last week, you know, everything is not the same thing. I know, and they've shut down some tight ends before, but guys like Fasano, you know, in the past, Dallas Clark, those kind of guys. And this guy, Scott Chandler, not that he's as good as Gates, but I promise you, Chandler's going to have some catches in this game. You know, I think he's, I fear him in some ways a lot more. Him and David Nelson, who's like their third receiver, but he's playing like a number one right now. Now, you always have Donald Jones, you have Stevie Johnson. And as I said, Johnson is not at, at 100%. So there's some weapons here, but it is, you know, let's not forget, it's still Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback, and who has looked good as time, at time, but last year, you know, I mean, you can see him, he can be rattled. He can be rattled. And I just think to win the game that Buffalo has to put up 30, and I don't see him doing it. I can tell you that right now. I don't see him putting up 30 in this game. I think it'll be a competitive game for a while, and the Patriots are going to pull away. They have just, they still, even without Hernandez, obviously, they have too many weapons. They're going to run the ball they're extremely well against this team. I know there's some new bodies and new faces. Now, I'm wondering what Sean Merriman, what his impact is going to be this week. You know, and we've seen him before, obviously, with the Chargers. I mean, he can step it up. You know, McGee didn't practice today. If he's out, I mean, if McGee's not playing, they're going to be some serious trouble on that side. You know, Drayton Florence is okay. And McKelvin is, you know, okay. But, you know, they gave up a ton of yards last week to the Raiders. The Raiders and Jason Campbell. So let's not get too carried away with what Buffalo can do, because they played a horrible Pop Warner Kansas City Chiefs team, and then they played, you know, the Raiders, who blew a 3-touchdown lead. Incredibly. And I give Buffalo credit because they came down and scored 5 straight touchdowns on 5 straight possessions. But we'll get to my picks in about 20 minutes. And I'll have my super miraculous lock, and which, by the way, is 2-0, by the way. 6-9-2 last week on my picks. But, or was it 7-9? What was it? 6-8-2, something like that. 6-8-2. But my miraculous picks are 2-0. And I'm 1-1 with the Patriots so far this year. I did take the Chargers +8 last week. I thought they'd backdoor cover, but that didn't happen. That's fine with me. I have no problem with that. I'm not sure. I know it's a big line this week, and I can tell you right now I'm leaning towards the Patriots covering the 9. I know a lot of people, I'll say what's going to happen is people are going to get overhyped and over carried away with this Buffalo offense. And they're going to get a little bit carried away probably with Patrick Chung and Josh Barrett. Chung probably out and Barrett not at 100%, and I understand all that. But all that being said, Buffalo does not have the firepower to match this Patriot offense. They can't get into a shootout. So the only way they have a chance to keep this close is if Freddie Jackson has one hell of a game and they keep running the ball, and CJ Spiller, who's also very good, can do some damage. So that tandem, they got to keep the Patriots off the field. Josh says, time to call up Darren Sharper. he's been saying that for 2 weeks. Anthony says, will they pull a Gates on Gronk, focus on the running game, or target Welker? Are they capable of rotating all of the above in sequence? On the other hand, what does Bill Belichick take away from the Bills based on our injury situation? Yeah, well, I think he takes everything into consideration. He's going to take into consideration if McGee's out there and the Bills situation as well. So if you're talking about will the Bills pull the Gates on Gronk, I'm assuming he thinks they're going to just cover Gronkowski. Cover Gronkowski. That's fine. They can't cover everybody. The Bills don't have the five. They don't have the defense. Not even close to cover the Patriots offense. They gave up a bunch of points last week in yards to the Raiders. And big plays, some of them. And that's the Raiders. So you tell me how Buffalo's going to stop. The only way they stop them if Freddie Jackson really takes control of this game and they keep that Patriot offense off the field. This is one of those times. A lot of times, besides net yards to me being a bit overrated, I think time of possession can be extremely overrated at times as well, because sometimes you can win the time of possession. I've seen teams win the time of possession and be down 17 points at the half very easily. You know, but you have to still factor in the Patriots being able to, cause turnovers, which they have. So we'll see. But to me, the Bills have to win the time of possession in this game. and Fitzpatrick can't turn the ball over. They can't. They cannot give the Patriots an opportunity. And there is no way in hell that Buffalo can go in a shootout toe-to-toe with the Patriots for 60 minutes. They might go for a little while, and it might be interesting, but not in the end. I just don't see it. As banged up as the Patriots' defense might be in this one, they don't. The Bills just don't have the horses to keep up with New England. They just don't. Now, New England, you know, you factor in the intangibles. New England fumbles a kickoff here or there, some crazy play, a fumble. Brady gets sacked, fumbles the ball, something crazy happens. But, and this is not going to be one of those games either. Trust me, I don't see it. If the Patriots get out to what the lead the Raiders get out last week, if the Bills are down, you know, 21-3 at one point, like they were, if they're down 21-3 in this game, they're going to get killed. But I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. I think it's nip and tuck for a couple of quarters, going back and forth, and then the Patriots just turn it. The Patriots just pull away. The Patriots defense, you know, is going to come up with a play. They always do, especially against teams like this. They've had their number. They always seem to get it going in Buffalo. And I expect it again. My friend Dave on Facebook had an interesting thought today. As a Patriots fan in Wisconsin, I can tell you that Packer fans are a little worried about their defense. And the Packers defense is different this year compared to last because they haven't been able to get to the quarterback, a problem they share with the Pats. When the Packers' defense is effective, they use the Woodson and Matthews to get pressure. I have to disagree with you to the extent that yards allowed doesn't matter. I haven't heard you mention it, but I would guess that defenses that didn't allow a lot of points also didn't allow a lot of yards. I would guess the Patriots are the exception. I am most worried about their ability to get off the field on third down, which stems from not putting pressure on the quarterback, which leaves the secondary out to dry. You can't simply rely on turnovers. Again, I'm not totally dismissing, and thanks for the question, Dave. It was a good question. I'm not totally dismissing net yardage numbers. You don't dismiss any stat. I'm saying I think net yardage and the way they calculate number one offense and number one defensive ranks is totally overrated. I just think it's an overrated stat. I think time of possession is an overrated stat in a lot of areas. Now sometimes it's not. You know, and I always bring this game up, but back in 2007, the AFC Championship game, when Lawrence Maroney was decent, you know, he and the offensive line, I mean, that's what time of possession was used. The Patriots ran out the clock in that game, the last 9 minutes and like 10 seconds. They just ran the clock out, and they had great ball control, great clock management by the coach and the team, and that's where time of possession can come into play. I remember games like that. But like I said, I've also remembered other games where teams can win the time of possession battle by 10 or 12 minutes and they're down by 14, 17 points. So you got to factor in everything. But yeah, I mean, the Packers lost their safety and I still think you got to take into consideration the teams they played. And I'll be honest with you. I think they're going to get it together. They play the Bears this week in Chicago, and we'll get to my picks overall. I hate Jay Cutler. I can't stand him. I think he's in for another beating this week, and I think he threw his entire line under the bus. I understand the frustration, but you know what? Throw the damn ball away sometimes. He is too stupid. He doesn't make good reads. There are times he just doesn't get rid of the ball, and it's not all the offensive line's fault. And I thought March was going to blow a gasket listening to him talk on the sideline early today or at practice about it. I mean, he's upset. I think Cutler's a big freaking baby. You know, I've never liked him as a pro. I thought Denver absolutely made the right deal. And I don't see the Bears ever going far in the playoffs with him. I just don't. I think he's a big freaking baby. And I don't see him. I don't see the truth. I don't think he inspires inspiration. I mean, if you're the Bears' offensive line, you know what? I hope they give him 8 seconds to pass this week, and I hope Green Bay wins 58-0. That's what I hope. I hope he has all the time in the world. Because I've seen him with all the time in the world, and he still can't get it done. I mean, he's okay. I don't know how the hell they got to the NFC Championship game last year. I don't know how that happened, but somehow it did. And I saw Lovie Smith today on TV. I don't know. The Bears, I'm not a big fan of the Bears. Just not. Oh. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Darnell says on Facebook, Pete, I think we are going to be in for a battle for the first half. Final score will be Patriots 35, will be Pats 35, Bills 21. Yeah, I mean, that's possible. That's what I said, and that's okay. That's acceptable. Wouldn't be surprised at that at all. I think the Patriots would take that. I think any team would take any win on the road. You know, a divisional game on the road. For any team, any victory is a good win. Sometimes I think people forget how hard it is. I bring this up a lot, to win a football game. It's hard to win a game. I don't care who you are. It's difficult. And it's even more difficult on the road. And I know what's going to happen. Again, I told you last week what would happen after the Patriots beat the San Diego Chargers. Didn't I tell you that everybody would be bashing the defense all week? And the number, their last, this and that, and this and that. And, you know, and they always want to dismiss the turnover. A lot of people, not everybody, a lot of people want to just dismiss the turnovers. Well, they can't rely on that every week. Why not? That's what they do. That's what they do. They do rely on turnovers every week because they're the best at it in the league. So yeah, I do expect them to get two or three turnovers a week. I do. Cause that's what they do. They've done it. There's a history there lately, last, you know, couple years. Ray says, the Jets, I hate the Pats more than the Dolphins, and everybody hush hush this week. You can just feel it in the air. The Ralph and the entire one Bills drive will be rocking Sunday. This ain't 07. No running up the score. Time is up. Sick of you Patriots fans with you ultra man crush fixation with your quarterback. Tom Brady is going down. All your hopes with him. No need for a lawyer Sunday and breaking out my big number one thumb. Oh, obviously referencing Lawyer Malloy, the last time the Bills beat the Patriots in Buffalo was 0-3, that 31-0 game. We all know what happened, the reversal of fortune around Week 17 when it was Drew Bledsoe throwing interceptions to Troy Brown and the Patriots winning 31-0 to close out that season. Ray, I appreciate the passion. I understand. If I was a Bills fan and didn't know any better, I'd probably feel like you do. So I'm going to say a little prayer against you. And no, I'm just kidding. And I'm gonna tell you right now, your boys, it'll be one of those close but kind of no cigar type of things. They ain't ready yet. No, it's not going to happen. So just get ready. They'll make some plays. They'll put some points against the Patriots. They'll make some plays. And I think they'll be competitive. I mean, we'll see. This is one of those games I really think in the NFL where it could be somewhat of a moral victory. Even if they lose by like 17, the Bills I'm talking about, 14, 17 points, if they can hang that close with this team, I think that'll be, goes the long way. But if they screw up like they always do against the Patriots in Buffalo, and again, Tom Brady last year, I preface it again with, I don't go by trends a lot. All I'm telling you is Tom Brady threw for only 140 yards last year, and they still annihilated the Bills in Buffalo. And that's when Buffalo had won like 4 out of 6 at that time. They started to come around. Everybody thought it was going to be a tough game. And Woodhead and Jarvis Green Ellis went crazy in that game. So, my young cherub, don't bite off more than you can chew. Because that Bills team's going to get a long way to go. Still Chan Gailey as head coach. Don't forget that. You beat the Kansas City Chiefs and the Raiders. And I'm happy for you. Don't get me wrong. I think the Bills showed a lot of guts coming back from 3 touchdowns down. You know, because Bills team last year, they would have got killed in that game at the end. So I agree. There's some heart there. And you have some talented players. And I have no doubt that guys like Scott Chandler and Freddie Jackson, Spiller, and probably Nelson and Jones are going to make some plays for you on offense. And the Patriots are banged up on defense, no question. But you do not have the firepower to stop Tom Brady and this offense. You simply don't. You don't have the guys on defense.
Are you mental?
Not by the longest of shots do you have that kind of defense. No way. It's not there, my friend. Sorry. Just not seeing it. You can give me all the new names you want. You know, unless the Patriots fumble and stumble and bumble their way to some complacent type of game, I don't see it. And I think I think they know that their defense is banged up. I think other players are going to step it up. I think they will force turnovers. Now, I'm not sure if the Bills will. Not sure. But that's why they play the games. I'll give you my scores and predictions coming up in just a bit. We're going to take another quick break. We're broadcasting live. It's the Pete Shepard Show live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, Pete Shepard. That's PETESHEPPARD. Back for the final segment of the Pete Shepard Show for this Thursday on Patriots.com right after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Boxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Oh, yeah.
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the Big and Toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
This is the Pete Shepard Show with Pete Shepard on Patriots.com Radio.
And back here, final segment of the Pete Shepherd Show. Picks coming up in just a couple of minutes here. You can email me, webradiopatriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We do it live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette. You can also Facebook me at Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Some great games. And I'll tell you what, I think I'm going to nail every one of them this week. Every one of them. That's how confident I am. I'm undefeated in my miraculous picks. We'll get to that in a second. Again, Patriots injury report in case you missed it, who did not practice today. Patrick Chung, Dan Gronkowski, Albert Haynesworth with a back problem. Hernandez, obviously Sebastian Vollmer with a back problem. Mike Wright, concussion. Patrick with his hand had the thumb operation. You know about that. Ian Rappaport and others are saying that Kevin First saying that he was not going to play. And so that's, you know, will pose a problem maybe initially, but I think the Patriots have enough firepower on offense that they will overcome it. Like I said, I just don't anticipate the Bills being able to keep up with the Patriots. I mean, maybe they will. I think they will for a couple of a few series, maybe a quarter and a half or so, but I don't see it. I just don't see it overall. Sorry. This is the Bills in Buffalo. They beat the Raiders in Kansas City, and, you know, I don't buy the new players on defense. I don't buy that they're going to be able to, that they have any chance at all of stopping the Patriots. I'm not saying 56-10. That won't be my prediction. I promise you that, like it was in 07. But, you know, I think it'll be a comfortable win in the end for the Patriots. Let's put it that way. In case you missed it, just real quick about the what happened with the Bungles again, incredibly. This is a funny thing. And again, reading it off ESPN. Police today confiscated a package containing 2.5 pounds of weed, marijuana, shipped from California to the home of Bengals wide receiver Jerome Simpson in Northern Kentucky. Bengals tackle Anthony Collins was also present at the house, isn't that nice, along with a woman who signed for the package. Nice. Police also found 6 more pounds of pot inside the house, as well as drug paraphernalia, such as packaging materials, scales, smoking devices. California Department of Justice spokeswoman.
Then that's when they smoke it.
Exactly. California Department of Justice spokeswoman Michelle Gregory said that to the Cincinnati Inquirer. Police detained the players but didn't arrest them. Huh? And no charges have been filed. This case will be addressed today by the Kenton County, Kentucky Prosecutor's Office. Not sure if that happened yet. Did a refresh. Didn't see anything yet.
We just had a little bit of news flash by the screen, yep. Pete, that Sal Pal reports that Vic has officially been cleared to play.
Vic has been cleared to play.
Medically cleared to play.
Okay. Now, just because he's medically cleared to play doesn't mean he's going to be able to finish the game. You kind of get the impression that one big hit by the Giants and he might be done. But that's good for fantasy football people. So Michael Vick is cleared to play. Getting back to this story, calls to the agents for Simpson and Collins went unreturned. The house was, this is according to head of the National Marijuana Initiative, Tommy Lanier, said the house was set up as a potential distribution network. Spokesman for the Bengals acknowledged the team was aware of the reports but did not offer any other comments. Both players participated in the team's practice on Wednesday. Simpson was excused from the Bengals practice today. In an interview with SiriusXM Radio today, Coach Marvin Lewis said that Simpson was cooperating with authority. I mean, I just don't get it how Marvin Lewis has a job. I don't understand it. He has to take some responsibility for that. I know he's a grown man, some are kids. I understand that, but you cannot have this many people, this much trouble in your organization.
Don't talk to me, all right?
I don't understand.
Knock it off!
I don't understand how a guy like this keeps his job. I don't understand it. The Bengals had 10 players arrested during a 10-month span from April of 06 to June of 07. Of course, Chris Henne, the biggest one. They also, Bengals creating a stir when they decided to bring Henry back after his fifth arrest. He later, of course, he died from that fall from his fiance's truck, which was unfortunate, obviously. 2 players arrested last summer. The Bengals back in the spotlight last July. Cornerback Adam Pac-Man Jones arrested in downtown Cincinnati, charged with misdemeanor disorderly conduct, resisting arrest. He pleaded not guilty and is scheduled for trial in November. He's currently on the injury list, recovering from off-season neck surgery. Cedric Benson spent 5 days in jail before the start of the season. And again, we just saw today that, he's out, suspended 3 games for violating the league's personal conduct clause during the lockout. So the Bungles continue to be the Bungles. Anyway, it's about that time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to gather around your radios. Grab the children, grab the family dog, cat, piranhas, whatever you got lying around. and bring it to your computer or your iPhone, whatever it is. You're listening to this wonderful program on, produced by the magnificent producer Kevin Collins. No relation to Tom. And get ready for my picks in week three. Pete the Meat Shepherd's picks. And at the end, we'll have my miraculous pick coming up, which is 2-0, by the way. So, man, I hope you are taking advantage of my miraculous picks, because you'd be making a fortune right now. But here we go. Let's start right away. And I'll pick the Patriots last. Well, I'll pick the Patriots last, and then I'll do my miraculous pick. All right? I'll do my miraculous pick the last thing, which is my one game, I think, stands out about everybody else. We start with the Bungles and their pot-infested, cannabis-laced team. San Francisco going into Cincinnati. The Bungles.
Then that's when they smoke it.
The Bungles are 2.5-point favorites at home. I say, what are you smoking, line makers? Forget about it. Take the San Francisco 49ers, who will be sober against a stoned out Cincinnati Bungles.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
I'm taking the 49ers plus the 2.5. Cincinnati literally could be stone cold. We'll see what happens with that. New Orleans is home. They are 4-point favorites against Houston. Houston, Arian Foster, what's going to happen? I don't know. Not sure what's going to happen. All I know is this. I like New Orleans at home minus 4. I think that number's way too low. I know Houston can be tough, playing tough. I like New Orleans minus 4. Drew Brees and company get it done as they did against the Bears, like I told you they would in my miraculous lock last week. Even though the Bears were 4-0 against New Orleans going into that game, previous four, who cares? At Philadelphia, the Giants are 7.5-point dogs. Michael Vick, as you just heard, has been cleared to play. I don't care. I'm taking the Giants in this one, 7.5. Too many points in this one. Eli sucked on Monday night.
G-Man!
Yeah, I am taking the G-Man, reluctantly, with the 7.5. But they have a long way to go. Eli just terrible. And we're very fortunate to win that game, which could have been won by the Rams if they not turned the ball over. But I'll take the Giants in that one, plus the 7.5. Cleveland is home once again. Can the Dolphins start 0-3? Cleveland. 2.5-point favorites at home against Miami. I got to go with the Dolphins in this one. I just can't believe that they are going to start the season 0-3. They're 0-2 at home, but last year we saw what they did on the road. They won! Something they couldn't do at home. They were 7-1 on the road last year, weren't they? Or 6-2, whatever it was. 7-1 on the road last year. So I'm taking Miami to squeak one out at Cleveland. Then you have Tennessee. The Titans are home, coming off that big win against Baltimore. They are home 6.5-point favorites against Denver. That is still, to me, way too many points. My man Kyle Orton is coming around. I like Denver to keep this one close. Maybe they don't win, but 6.5, too much. I'm picking the Broncos, baby, plus the 6.5. Meanwhile, the up-and-coming Detroit Lions are at Minnesota. The Lions, of course, a team that I picked to make the playoffs this year. Went out on a limb. Again, Minnesota does nothing to impress me. They suck. They were awful last week. They jump out to a 17-0 lead on Tampa Bay. And one of my picks last week that I had Tampa Bay. And they came back as a 2.5-point dog and won. This week, Detroit is a 3.5-point favorite at Minnesota. I got to like the Lions in this spot here. Minnesota, I think, is a sinking ship. They're in some serious trouble. Detroit minus 3.5. That gets the call. Interesting game. Carolina, home. 3.5-point favorite for Cam Newton and company against Jacksonville. I am not a huge Jacksonville fan at all. I think they stink. Gabbard's going to be starting at quarterback. I don't care who it is. I'm going to go with Carolina here. And the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton, gets it done. Yes, I know Alex Smith has a concussion. I don't care for the 49ers. I understand that. Doesn't matter. The Bungles are stoned and won't win the game. I'm picking San Francisco in that game, as I said before. That was my first pick. Now we got San Diego, a 14.5-point favorite against Kansas City, a divisional opponent at home. Call me nuts. Call me insane. Call me whatever you like.
Yourself, San Diego.
But I'm taking the Chiefs in this spot. 14.5 still is a lot of points to give up. I know Pittsburgh covered the big number last week at home against Seattle. But this one, too, could have backdoor cover written all over. I just think 14.5 points is way too many points to be given up this early in the season. I know Kansas City looks like dog caca the last couple of weeks. But I'm going with Kansas City here, plus 14.5. I'm going to take them. The Jets are on the road, 3.5-point favorites at Oakland. No, no, no. Stop it. Yeah, Rex Ryan running his mouth all week, giving bulletin board material for the Raiders, and I think that's going to be enough. The Raiders, who got humiliated last week after blowing a 3-touchdown lead in Buffalo, I think the Raiders come roaring back. They may not win, but I like the plus 3.5. That has field goal game to me or overtime written all over it. I think the Jets are going to have their hands full this week flying cross country and playing a very disturbed Oakland Raider team. I'm taking the Raiders plus 3.5. Not saying they're going to win, but I think that's too many points right there at home. I'll take the Raiders as the home dog there. Baltimore on the road at St. Louis. Baltimore is a 4-point favorite. I am taking the Ravens in this one. They were humiliated last week against Tennessee, and I look for them to bounce back. It's a bad spot for the Rams, even though they're at home. They're very banged up. Don't know about Steven Jackson. It's just going to be... I just think this is just too much. I think Baltimore is going to turn it on here, and Baltimore wins this game by at least a touchdown. They cover the 4. Baltimore minus 4 on the road at St. Louis. They get the call. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who came roaring back from 17 points down against Minnesota last week, they're home as a 2-point favorite against Atlanta. Got to go with the Falcons here. Another game I loved last week. I told you I love the Falcons and Matt Ryan beating Michael Vick. It looked ugly early. Then the Falcons came back. Up by 11, then they were down by 11, whatever it was. But they came back. Matt Ryan made plays when he had to. I think the Falcons are finally on a roll here. Found themselves, and they're a better team than Tampa Bay. I like the Falcons here. Plus 2 at Tampa Bay for Matty Ryan and the Falcons. Pittsburgh is on the road at Indianapolis. They are a 10.5-point favorite. Now, normally a 10.5-point home underdog.
The Colts suck.
It's tough to lay off, but the Colts do suck. They got humiliated by the Browns last week at home, and Pittsburgh does even more damage to Kerry Collins and company. I think the Steelers win this one easily, and I think it's going to be very difficult for Indianapolis to even score in this game. So you could be looking at back-to-back shutouts.
The Colts suck.
Back-to-back shutouts by the Steelers, and people will be talking and touting them as the number one defense, blah, 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 not knowing that they play the Seahawks and the stupid, heartless Indianapolis Colts right now who don't have Peyton Manning. The Monday night game. Interesting game. Dallas is home. Tony Romo did not practice today, so that's still kind of up in the air. My guess is he is not going to play. Yes, Monday night football. The Redskins, 5.5-point underdogs on the road at Dallas. I am going to take Washington in this spot because of the Romo factor. Right now, I got to go with the Redskins here, and I'm going to take them anyway because these games always seem to be pretty close, don't they? Upsets happen. I'm taking the Washington Redskins in this spot. Down to the last two. The Patriots are on the road, -8.5 at Buffalo. First of all, I like the over in the game. That's a given. But I'm going to tell you this right now. As I've said for the last 3 days. And even though they are banged up with the secondary, Chung may not play. Dan Gronkowski didn't practice today. Haynesworth might be out. It doesn't matter. It's in Buffalo. Patriots come away with, because they have so much firepower, Ryan Fitzpatrick and company do all they can to keep up with them for a quarter and a half or so. But the Patriots defense, I promise you, will cause a turnover or two. They will take advantage of it. They have too much. Bills, it'll look a lot better than the score indicates, but the Patriots win this 41-27. That is going to be the final score. Patriots will cover the 8.5 and win the game 41-27. If the Raiders can put up that kind of those kind of numbers against the Bills, I can guarantee you Tom Brady is going to be tough to stop on any possession coming up on Sunday. The Bills just don't have it on defense. I don't believe it. I don't believe in them. I believe that they can put up some points against the Patriots in this game because of the way the injury scenario is right now and because of the way the Patriots offense usually jumps out to big leads. I understand all that, but it's just too much firepower in the end, and the Patriots win this one 41-27. I like the Patriots -8.5. Now, it's time.
And now, it's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock of the Week.
Well, I've been saying it for the last couple of days, and after seeing that stupid-looking crybaby goofball Cutler, Jay Cutler, throwing his team under the bus, throwing his offensive line under the bus. And I hope it's like in the original Longest Yard where the guy says, just give me a little more room, will you? And they sack Burt Reynolds, a quarterback. I have no faith at all in the Bears in this game. I think the Packers go into Chicago and annihilate them. I think they annihilate them. I don't see Jay Cutler doing anything in this game. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't care what the Packers defense has done the last couple of weeks. It doesn't matter to me. I'm taking the Packers here. -3.5 is my monster miraculous pick of the week. I love Green Bay in this game. I loved them last year in the NFC Championship. I thought it was a great matchup for them, even though it was on the road. I don't care where they're playing this game. Chicago, no way in hell can keep up with the Packers. Unless Green Bay really has a bad day turning the ball over, I don't see how the Bears even keep this within 10 points. I like the Packers by 14 at least in this game. I think they're going to destroy them. I am not a Jay Cutler fan. I'm not a Lovie Smith fan. I'm not a Mike Martz fan, because Mike Martz has to deal with Jay Cutler. So I'm picking the Packers as my monster pick of the week. Green Bay, -3.5, looking to go 3-0 to start the year on my monster miraculous picks. That's going to do it for me on the Pete Shepherd Show for this Thursday. Thanks to Kevin and Matt for producing this week. Did a great job, as always. Enjoy your football, everybody. And I will talk to you again next Tuesday afternoon, beginning at 4 o'clock, right here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Thanks to all my guests this week. Thanks for everybody for phoning and writing in and emailing. I really appreciate it. And all the nice words you guys have. And girls, I love you guys. Thanks so much. It's great to be back on the air, talking with everybody once again about the New England Patriots. By the way, final score for the final time on Sunday, Patriots 41 and the Bills 27. Have a great and safe rest of your week, everybody. Talk to you Tuesday at 4. Bye-bye. Passport, the jewels and the necklace. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect this. Shoot at you actors like movie directors.